Let's turn in God's Word to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, we'll be reading verses 1 through 28. Matthew 16, verses 1 through 28, beginning in verse 1. These are the words of the living and true God. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites! You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And he left them and departed. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And they responded among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Why do men say that I, the Son of Man, or who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." And Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And those are God's words. Now, there is, in this chapter, unlike the previous couple of chapters, there are no miracles or signs performed by Jesus. And here, of course, those signs, we remember, pointed to the fact that he is the Messiah, as promised from the Old Testament. But here we see rather four discourses where Christ is interacting with others. The first is with the Pharisees through verse 4. They ask him to show them a sign. Remember that he had already shown them many signs. But Christ, having done so and shown many miracles and signs, the Pharisees were just plain unbelieving that he was the Messiah. And yet he mentions Jonah and leaves them. And the second discourse through verse 12 is with his disciples concerning the leaven of the false doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And showing that they still struggled. The disciples that still struggled to believe of Jesus' provision of the feeding of the multitudes in the previous two chapters. Then the third discourse through verse 20 to the disciples, encouraging them upon their profession of Jesus, the Son of God, through Peter himself specifically. Jesus, the Son of God, is the foundation of the church and the keys of the kingdom given to the leaders of the church. Here to Peter, to the apostles, and then today the elders, as we learn in other places, even in Matthew 18. And then the final discourse concerning Christ's sufferings and their suffering, as well as his followers. And we, beloved, come to the only wise God in Christ. We're reminded to turn from false teaching here, to trust Jesus Christ at his word, that as Christ suffered, and so we will suffer in union with him, as we've learned in Romans 8, with the promise that we will be glorified together with him. So though we might suffer, for Christ's sake, we will be glorified together with him. And in that we hang our hope in his promises. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you praise this evening. We're thankful for this time that we can gather to worship you and gather together to praise your name and to hear your word. We're thankful for Jesus Christ, your Son, who exhibits exactly what we're hearing this evening in the sermon on the manner of preaching. We're thankful that he shows these characteristics forth as an example to us of what preaching ought to be. And Father, we're asking that you would help myself and all pastors who preach the word, that we would do so like Jesus did. Not, of course, exactly how he did it, but in the biblical and godly way as you prescribe in your word and as you're teaching us. Father, we ask also that you would cause us to put off false doctrine and teaching of not just Pharisees and Sadducees, but any in our day who would do so. And as we read, we ask that you would grow us in discernment. And to grow in discernment, we need to grow in knowledge and understanding of your word, and then the wisdom of your word, application of it to our lives and our faith. And so, Father, we ask that you would grow us in discernment. And Father, we also ask that you would build us up and strengthen us, that we would know your word and know your promises, so that when we do suffer, and we know suffering will come for those who are heirs of God will suffer in this life. Those who are persecuted will, those who are yours will be persecuted, as you promise in your word. And so, Father, we ask that when that comes, and when we are attacked, that we will remember the word of hope and comfort, and the promise that you make, that even though we take up our cross to follow after you, that you will bring us safely home before your throne in glory forever, that you will glorify us together with Jesus Christ, your Son, and even now as he sits on the throne. And so we will be exalted and we will reign with him. And we're thankful again for that doctrine of the union, of union with Jesus Christ, so that what is true of him now and his human nature is true of us and will be. And so, Father, we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to that in hope, remembering that you're the faithful God who keeps your promises. As we heard in the call to worship, you're the God who is merciful, that covenant mercy that is always towards your people. We pray that you would continue that even in this time and in this week coming up. And then, Father, we ask that you would be with the Church of Jesus Christ, that you would be with our congregation, you would be with the congregation represented here in Shawnee, and Father, we ask that you would grow us for your glory, that you would purify us and cleanse us of our sin, that you would cause us to proclaim the gospel and evangelize, that your kingdom would grow and spread to the ends of the earth, as we've heard, and we know that you've promised will happen, that all nations will come and they will bow down to you and serve you. And even rulers and kings will bring presents before your Son Jesus Christ, who reigns on the throne forever and ever as our mediatorial King. Father, we pray for our little children. We ask for your help, those who have been raised or are being raised up in the church. We ask that you would give them faith at the earliest of ages and send your Spirit. We pray for those who have forsook us, and also for those who are not assembling together with us, but have forsaken the assembling together of your church. Father, we ask that you would convict them in their hearts of their sin and bring them to a place of worship, any worship where the gospel is truly proclaimed. Of course, we pray that they would come and worship with us. Father, may it not continue any longer, for we know the great dangers of forsaking your worship, and the curses that are promised, and the sin struggles that we will enter into. But it is here in the gathering of your people where we are protected and provided for in our souls and blessed. The greatest blessing we know is found when your people gather together on the Lord's Day and worship you. And so, Father, bless your people even now as we continue worshiping you. Humble us before your throne, and yet encourage us in Christ that we can come boldly to your throne and continue worshiping now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.